Set in 1923 between Dublin and Chicago, The Roaring Banshees is a new play from Peter McGann and John Martin. It's a story, John Martin rather, it's a story very much about jumping from a frying pan into the fire. The frying pan being the Civil War in Ireland in the early 1920s. The fire being the gangland underworld of Chicago in this same year. Taking the jump are a group of seven women known as the Roaring Banshees in a play that comes to Smock Alley in Dublin this week following three nights at the Watergate Theatre in Kilkenny. With me in studio this evening, plays co-writer John Martin, along with two of those seven Roaring Banshees, Ali Fox, who plays the character of Kitty, and Nessa Matthews, who plays the character of Alice. It's a great idea, John, to take these seven women from that particularly, you know, let's face it, hot period in Irish history, and then send them off to Chicago when we had Al Capone and the likes of him hanging about the place. You know, it really is a case of from one real den of trouble into another.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And I think, I suppose in terms of doing a kind of coming them on play, the idea was to kind of do something that felt true to the history of the organisation, but to do it in a very kind of stylized context. So they're in a situation in Ireland where they feel that they've been potentially double-crossed by both sides. And particularly, it's set a couple of months after Cumann na mBan were declared an illegal organisation. So after a failed assassination attempt on Eamon de Valera, they end up fleeing to Chicago. And soon they end up getting caught in the what was the real life turf war between the Northside gang and Johnny Torrio's and Al Capone's outfit.
Yeah, and both of those, in fact, you know, because there's a large kind of surreal style of comedy, I think, within the script itself, at any rate. But you're talking kind of serious notes there as well. You wanted to write a Cumann na mBan play, did you? Like from a did you start from a serious angle, or were you all the time looking for the crack in it?
It was a little bit of both. Like myself and Peter had done, we'd done a play a couple of years ago. Premiered in Project Arts Centre, and then went to the Watergate with it, called the Hellfire Squad, which was about it was kind of a fictionalized take on the origins of Michael Collins' hit squad. And because the play was quite heightened in terms of the genre of it, we kind of did it as a kind of men on a mission western, and so you're kind of playing with the expectancy of like a little bit of comedy and a kind of raggle taggle action, and then you're ideally trying to kind of, when you're filtering the genre back out of it, you're left with actually the real history, which is something we're kind of trying to do here. But I think it definitely is. It's a good crack play for the most part, but
Serious notes within it as well.
Yeah, there is.
Well, let's find out a little bit about the characters then. Kitty the Knife McGillicutty.
That's me.
That's you, Ali Fox. So yeah. Hey, tell me a little bit more about Kitty and her situation.
Kitty is a very gutsy lady. She is scrappy as hell. And the real kind of glad handler, as we say, of this unit. And when she gets over to Chicago, she gets fierce notions about herself, but is full of ambition. She'd like to segue into the political arena and kind of leave her more violent history well behind her. She fancies herself as a politician, and she definitely has the wherewithal to scramble to the top.
Yeah, it's one of the descriptions at the beginning of the script talks about smooth-talking, blade-sharp, out-and-out politician.
Yeah.
So she's prepared to say and do anything to get what she wants, is she?
In a nutshell, yeah, she'd do anything to get ahead.
All right then, Nessa Matthews, you're playing the part of Alice Banyan, also known as Red Alice, and the red is a hint there as to the politics.
It is indeed.
How would you describe her?
She's a deeply socialist, very angry soul, who sort of works with Kitty to sort of keep the group ticking along. She is very uncompromising for the most part, loves her group of gals, loves them very much.
As stubborn as she is fierce is one of the descriptions we have for her at the beginning of the play, and also could be termed contrary.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
I noticed that she is called the boss here, but I note that when Ali was talking about Kitty, she seemed to think that Kitty was the boss. Is that part of the big dynamic within the play?
Yeah, it absolutely is. They really kind of depend on each other and look to each other for sort of advice along the way, because I think Alice probably would have got them in loads of trouble ages ago. They probably would have died if she hadn't been around. And similarly, I think they just both need each other. They kind of balance each other out right. And all those kind of, in that way that good duos do.
It's a real yin-yang situation. Yeah.
Well, maybe a little section from the play will give us a sense of the dynamic between them. This is quite early on. They've left Ireland. The assassination attempt on De Valera has failed, clearly. And they're on the boat now, on the way?
On the boat.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's...
waving goodbye
let's
to Ireland.
Then. Right, scene two, then, from The Roaring Banshees. Ali Fox as Kitty, Nessa Matthews as Alice.
We won't be gone from Ireland long.
No, Kitty. We won't.
America is a nation of thick dopes mad for Irish. We're a lovely mix of exotic and white would be grand. Few months lying low, we make a few bob, enjoy the new world with all its queer and comical ways, and then go back home when there's no fear of being strung up by the neck from Dublin Castle.
It's a pity we're going on this adventure without Elsie.
You think?
Oh, she's always mad to see the States.
She was. She'd have loved this trip.
Not all of it. Concepta's getting sick so much I'm surprised there's anything left inside her.
Seasickness, they call it. It's a particular kind of sickness you get only at sea.
Jesus, well, she left the quarters in a grim old state.
Huh? Not unlike how we left Ireland, to be fair.
If those rosters didn't want to get shot, they shouldn't have started shooting.
Ah, the poor divils didn't expect seven women to be that well armed. Especially not in a church. God rest them.
Look, if we're leaving together, we're coming back together. The Banshees are a unit.
Come off that talk, Alice. You can't shoot Brits in the head forever.
Where's the pity?
We got held back in coming to Mom when the allegiance is split, but that won't happen now. No more holding collection tins for us. And we've a good head start over in Chicago. Doesn't your cousin Dean fancy himself loyal to the cause?
Most of the second generations do. It helps with the chip on their shoulders. But as far as I can tell, cousin Dean has one cause, and one cause only. Flogging bootleg booze. And by the sounds of it, that cause involves shooting more than Brits in the head.
He'll be knocked for six once he's tasted Flossie's putchine. That maggot juice is our ticket to the big time over here. Think of the long game.
Yeah. All right, so. The long game.
Yes, there we have it. Nessa Matthews as Alice and Ali Fox as Kitty in the play The Roaring Banshees. Obviously, Ali and Nessa are with me in studio, along with one of the writers of the piece, John Morton. I'm just wondering, John, you know, you mentioned that, that there is the historical background, and obviously when they get to Chicago, they're going to try to sell the putchine.
Oh, yeah.
Alice Banion, Red Alice, Kitty, the Knife, McGillicuddy, Bernadette McGurk, who's described as foul-mouthed baby smuggling, Flossie the Farmer Farrell, Hardshaw, illiterate farmer, Concepta Bloom, former captive of the nuns and pioneer, Molly Malone, and is it Seanan na Gcapaillín or Seanan na Gcapaillín?
Seanan na Gcapaillín.
Seanan na Gcapaillín, also known as the Morrigan because of the way she behaved during the War of Independence. Have any of these women any, even the seed of reality in history? Are they totally imagined characters?
They're mostly imagined. Like there was elements of some kind of real life historical coming among members that we kind of were inspired by and filtered into it a little bit, but for the most part they're fictionalized. We were kind of trying to create a sense of obviously women that were that felt quite authentic to the women that weren't coming among, but then they could also possibly exist in that kind of 1920s kind of Jimmy Cagney gangster movie type of story. So it was a kind of blend between the two different things, Irish history and the kind of gangster genre.
What role does music play in the show? Because the music of the era is quite important, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Ours is a little bit more kind of... I think Sarah Baxter, the director, she's kind of gone down a slightly more Martin Scorsese route with it. So, there's mixes of kind of soul and Motown, but then there's a lot of, you know, there's Benny Goodman and... bits of John McCormick as well, so there's a blend of a couple of different things in there.
Yeah, soundtrack's great.
The soundtrack,
it's really good.
Yeah, yeah, soundtrack to what you hope will be the movie.
Maybe.
I'm wondering about the dynamic when you have it's seven Roaring Banshees, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's Sarah Baxter who's directing it. Mm-hmm. What has that dynamic brought? That gender dynamic brought to the rehearsal room for you so far, Ali?
A lot of fun. and a lot of hard graft and no messing.
Yeah. Mm.
I've never been in a play with all women before, and I want to stick to it. I think it has been just such a lovely room to be in. The work will always get done, and we're still finding time to discover new things in the text and have a laugh at the same time. I've never had a bad day. I always come out full of energy. Yeah. That never happens.
You're in agreement there, Nessa,
absolutely,
with all of that.
Yeah, no, it's been an absolutely lovely room to be in, absolutely. Mm. They're all great.
Yeah.
They're all great. We wish they were here.
Yeah. Well, we might fit you all into this studio at the one time. Just one final question. There's a point in the Chicago, and I can't remember which of the characters that actually says it, but it says something, if you find a civil servant in Chicago with an Irish name, then you've found a corrupt person, basically.
A career criminal, yeah.
Yeah, a career criminal. Is it one of you two guys?
Katie.
It's Kitty that says that. So was that your experience in the research? Is there wasn't a good Irish man or Irish woman to be found? They were all corrupt?
Well, there was certainly good Irish people there, but I think that...
They weren't civil servants or policemen.
They certainly weren't our policemen, for the most part. When they first land in Chicago, their instinct is to try and connect with the Irish immigrants that are there. So they started, historically, there was the Real Northside Gang, which was headed up by a guy called Dean O'Banion. And they really did fancy themselves loyal to the cause, as mentioned in the scene. Mm. But they were quite nefarious and double-crossing. And we found that happened, quite a bit.
And some of that factors into the plot, as it's told later on, but you'll have to go and see it to find out how it factors in. That's The Roaring Banshees. Comes to Smock Alley Theatre in Dublin from next Monday, August the 12th. It will run through until the end of the month, Saturday, August 31st. SmockAlley.com for full details there. Ali Fox and Nessa Matthews, the two actors who are with us, and co-writer John Martin with us on this Tuesday evening.